If I never said another sentence other than this, it would be sufficient. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Amen? Amen. Nothing more need be said, right? But I am Irish. A number of years ago, I was ordained a deacon. A few months later, ordained a priest. And I was getting ready to be ordained a deacon. It was at December of 1995. And I was getting ready. It was exciting. And it would be the first weekend. So I had this, and I knew that once I got ordained a deacon, that the next couple of weeks of the semester were going to be like crazy. And so I decided to do something over Thanksgiving. And that is to actually write and complete a paper 3 weeks early. Only time has ever happened. And so I spent my Thanksgiving weekend, except for that hour when I ate a turkey dinner, working on this 25-page paper summarizing the theology of the Trinity of Saint Athanasius. It was an incredible paper. I worked and worked and worked and worked, and I handed it in even early. I said, here you go, Father Quinn, I'm all done. A week or two later, I get the paper back. And he says, Father Kevin, or actually he just said Kevin, because I wasn't even a priest then. Hey, Kev, probably is what he said. Did you know that this is a graduate paper? And I said, yes. He says, well, did you know that you had not one, but two incomplete sentences? That's something you learned about in first grade, right? I said, yes. So why did you have an incomplete sentence on this paper on the Trinity? And I just paused, looked intelligent, and said, the Trinity, it is a mystery. And it is. It is the mystery of our faith. Is the mystery which defines and shapes our faith as a Christian people. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the most profound, most fundamental mystery of our faith. The foundational truth of who we are as Christians is that we are a Trinitarian faith. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And from that flows the incredible mysteries and life and mission of the church. It is why we serve the poor. It's why we run schools and hospitals. It's why we are great businessmen and lawyers and doctors. It's why we raise our families to be holy. It's why we have beautiful music. Because in the mystery of the Trinity, of this community of love, we live our lives loving. And of course, it's all easy, isn't it, to love one another? Like, you raised five kids, and you never had to discipline them, did you? I've heard stories in the front row. I think of my own upbringing. I think of life. I think of today. I think of, like, sometimes how hard it is to love and the complexities. I mean, you look at our society as we deal with the pandemic, and in the last 2 weeks as we deal with this turmoil from the death of George Floyd. So St. Paul, aware that we have all been baptized into the mystery of the Trinity, St. Paul, aware that he himself was baptized in the mystery, and St. Paul reflecting on his own life and some of his continuing struggles, that's why he said, take away this thorn in my side, that we can all have struggles, we can all have things like, how do I overcome this? St. Paul, writing and looking at the Corinthians, says they need a little encouragement. So at the end of his second letter to the people, the Christian church in Corinth, he says this. Brothers and sisters, rejoice, encourage, agree, live, mend, greet. They're all active verbs. They're all the present tense. So he's not saying, make sure you have rejoiced or rejoice tomorrow, but that rejoicing is something that you should be doing. And mending, he didn't say just like get it done over with, but mending, mend your ways is a present reality. He's aware that they need to mend their ways. Encourage is not something that way, hey, good job, way to go, Ramsey. But no, encourage, keep on encouraging. Be a people of encouragement. Agree with one another. Now that's easy, right? Jesus said, wherever two or three people agree on anything on the face of the earth, I will be there and be amazed. All right, bad joke. Live in peace. That's how we are to live in peace. Greet. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another because you realize the person before you is an image of God and bears God's imprint, and more fundamentally as Christian people, is your sister and your brother. That's how we are to live. That's how you and I are to engage in the world. That's why this Feast of the Trinity Sunday is this great encouragement for us to actually immerse ourselves in God's love so that all that which isn't of love can be burned away. That's why being raised in society and with one another is so important, because when you're with one another, it sometimes rubs you the wrong way. And when it rubs you the wrong way, that rubbing, that little spur on the side is a place where I need healing. Over the last couple months, as people have come to me and they're saying, you know, this has never been a problem, but for these last 2 months, I've been struggling with this. I'm guessing whatever this is probably has been there all your life, hasn't it? Well, yeah, but it's never been a problem. Well, now you can deal with it so that you can radiate God's love even more. Over the last couple weeks, I've been struggling in our society with the death, the murder of George Floyd. It's been awful. It's been tumultuous. It's like, how do we deal with this? If there's ever been a time we need to be the Christian people, if there's ever been a time where we need to be the Trinitarian people, bringing the love of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, into everything we do, it's today. There are no simple answers. There are no simple solutions. There is no, like, just do this and everything will be okay. But what we can do and what we must do, filled with the Holy Spirit, what the God wants to do and, like, empower us and impel us to do, is to love one another, to mend our ways, to greet one another, to live in peace. This past week, on Tuesday, the clergy of the Twin Cities were invited to a little march and prayer session together. And so by clergy, I don't mean just Catholic, I mean like clergy. There were rabbis and Buddhists and all kinds of flavors of clergy. And so we had this opportunity to process from whatever parking lot that was, and they had a little rally, a couple speeches, then we walked maybe a half a mile, and thankfully only a half a mile, and we ended at the very spot where George Floyd was killed. There were Catholic clergy and Lutheran and Presbyterian and young and old, and it was great, men, women, all these people. And there we were, and as we got to the spot, I go, well, this is where we're going to pray. And so I just kind of stood along the curb because I felt, well, they're going to pray over there, and I just didn't want to get into the, like, who am I, you know? And all of a sudden, this minister, this pastor who's going to be, like, leading things, he says, right this way, and he, like, pushes me, and all of a sudden, I'm standing right here. And the place where the prayer is going to be happening is right here. And I thought, well, I shouldn't be here. Like, I'm a nobody. I should get back. And yet, there I was, just drawn right into the middle, in the very heart of what was happening. And this great preacher, he just belted out the most beautiful prayer, a prayer asking God to pour out his love upon the world. And probably 4 or 5 times, he said, Lord, we need your healing. Bring your healing to our society. Bring your healing to our streets. Bring your healing to our hearts. Bring your healing to the people. Bring your healing that the races might learn how to love one another. Bring your healing to us in the Twin Cities. And then we got down on our knees and we prayed together the Lord's Prayer together. It was beautiful. For a few moments, we lived in peace. For a few moments, we greeted one another with a holy kiss. For a few moments, our ways were mended. Then we go forth. And so that's what we do on Sunday. Whether you're here physically or viewing from home, for a few moments, we live what we strive for. For a few moments, we love one another. For a few moments, we acknowledge the person next to us. For a few moments, we live in peace and we love one another. So as we go forth from here, we might love and bring God's radiant love to others. So the next time you make the sign of the cross, realize what you're doing is you're making the most profound sign. There could not be a holier prayer, because from that prayer, God gives us his love, his spirit, his son, himself, so that we, filled with the spirit, might love like the spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who believe in him might not perish, but live.